Welcome to Executive Leaders Radio, your spot in the corner office, the radio show where executives share their secrets to success. Executive Leaders Radio.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Shannon Lane, and Mark Knight Frank, Drew Hanlon, Ethan Milrod, GoTo, Daily Tipton, Evolution Energy Partners, Mike Wiley, Chain Solutions, and John Fidler, Fidato Partners. Ethan, will you please give us a rundown on who we have on the air today, please?
Sure, Herb. We have a great show today, including Tony Pergolin, President and CEO Bancroft, Chris Colori, CEO Cooper's Ferry Partnership, David Fox, founder Combat Ready, and Orna Kempler-Azule, President and CEO Remote Speech.
Let's get to know our first guest, Tony Pergolin, President and CEO of Bancroft. Tony, what is Bancroft? What are you guys doing?
Bancroft is a 137-year-old nonprofit. We serve 2,000 children and adults with autism and brain injury, and our mission is to help them live their best life every day.
Wow. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Pittsburgh.
And how many brothers and sisters, and where are you in the pecking order?
I am second of four, the only girl.
And tell me a little bit about how young were you when you started making money, and what were you doing?
So I was about 12 years old, and I was a babysitter, and I was highly sought after by all the families on my street.
Why were you so sought after? Why?
Because what I think I did different from other babysitters is I didn't just watch the kid. I really engaged with them. I played with them. I was on the floor with them. I rolled around with them. I was one of the kids.
All right. So what's that engaging the kids have to do with your success at Bancroft, which serves 2,000 people a year?
Bancroft is a human services organization. And you really, to be successful, I think you really need to be able to have You need to be engaged. You need to be engaged with my staff. I need to be engaged with the people we serve. I need to be engaged with my families. And I am. I feed off of it. And I think they do too.
Gotcha. Drew.
Tony, you said in the green room that the families you babysat for knew you cared. I'm just curious, how did they know you cared?
You know, I was very in tune to everything that was going on with the family. Like, I always asked questions. How is everybody? I knew the kids inside and out. Like, I feel like my actions and the questions I ask and my need to build relationships with them all really showed my caring and compassionate side.
And how has that served you today?
I do the same thing at work. I mean, I'm very connected to my staff. I know their names. I know their families. I know if something's good or bad happening. Same thing with our families. I'm very connected. I'm a people CEO, person.
And I want to go back to your siblings. You said you were second of four?
Yes.
All of your siblings are your brothers, right?
Yes.
What was that like being a girl amongst boys?
You know, at the time, you don't know anything different. So I didn't think it was very different. And I was always the only girl around the table. And in my adult life, I have two sons and a husband. So I'm, again, the only girl around the table. And I feel like it really prepared me for my professional career, where I just don't think it needs to be. I feel very equal to everybody around the table. I don't feel different. I don't feel special. I feel that my voice is just as important as everybody else's, because that's how I grew up.
Shannon?
Tony, tell us a little bit about your mom and what she was like when you were growing up.
So my mom was, my mom and dad were both accountants. And so that's why I became an accountant, I guess. And my mom was a working mom. And back then, there weren't really very many working moms. And you know, she really ended up being a role model for me. She was an accountant. She worked for the big public firm. She worked every day. She, you know, came home and made dinner every night. She was very involved with our lives. And
she teach you that you carry with you today.
You know, I feel like I've done the same thing. You know, I have a career. I'm very involved with my kids as they were growing up. I went home every night and made dinner, even if it was later. Like, I really did all those same traits because I watched it happen, and very successfully.
Michael?
Tony, I really liked one of the things you said earlier with there's one rule for everyone. And how do you, and you even correlated that to your boys and learning some things from your boys along the way. Can you explain that again?
Yeah. So the tagline at Bancroft is one world for everyone. And we really thought that captured exactly what we're trying to do, is, you know, whether you have a disability or whether you come from a different culture, like whatever background you bring to us, whatever disability or ability you have, this is your one world and it's for everyone. And I really saw that in both my boys as they were growing up, because they had very diverse a group of friends and they just fit in so well. They don't look at them any differently. They're all in this together. They're equals. And I love that about our organization as well.
John?
Tony, did you play sports as a kid?
No, none. My brothers did.
Okay, so how did I'm assuming you went to your brother's sporting events. So how did going and watching them play sports and succeed or fail, how does that relate to you and what you're doing today?
So I had three brothers and all very, very athletic. I went to more ice hockey games than probably anything. And it was, again, just part of what our family did. And I was the cheerleader. It was never about winning or losing or who scored the most goals. It was about always cheerleading for them. And I definitely think I bring that when I come into my role at Bancroft, because it's all about cheerleading for the individuals we serve. They have abilities and we cheer them on.
Got the next question.
Tony, you mentioned earlier that you have an accounting background and you come into companies oftentimes not necessarily to turn them around, but you saw something in Bancroft, a need there. What? Why Bancroft?
So I did. I was recruited as the chief financial officer, and I was brought here because it was in dire financial straits and either needed a turnaround or, you know, actually when I got here in the first few weeks, everything about my financial mind said it needs to close.
Why Bancroft? Why that place? Personally, you couldn't do it anywhere.
Well, I mean, listen, I was a financial turnaround person, so I was going anywhere that needed a financial turnaround. And when I came here, my whole goal was to close it because it just wasn't going to make it. And then I started meeting the people of Bancroft, and I met these families that are like, we depend so much on Bancroft. Where would we be without Bancroft? And I'm looking at these 2,000 individuals and thinking, if I close this place, where are they going? And I really learned early on, it was too important to fail, which is the name of my book.
What does that mean to you?
It means that we had to do everything we can because this organization truly meant too much to too many people. It was making a difference to so many people. People have been at Bancroft for 50 years. It's their whole life. And this place really became my whole passion and mission. Was that is we had to turn it around and sustain it because it really is too important to fail.
Tony, when you're faced with a tough decision at the office, what do you hear your mom whispering in your ear?
She says, do the right thing for the organization, not necessarily for the person, not necessarily for me, not necessarily for anything, but what is the best for the organization? And in a nonprofit, a human services, you always have to put the organization's best interest first.
And I just wanted to quickly go back to your three brothers. What would they tell us about you?
I think they really saw me as a strong leader. And you know, so even though I was like the cheerleader and stuff, I was really the leader of the four of us. I was, you know, the both my parents are gone. I'm now the leader of the family and. You know, and again, I think I have really strong relationships. I think
did they instill in you you could climb any mountain you wanted?
They did, because I kept right up with them. None of them were any better than me. They weren't treated any differently.
They didn't look at you any different.
Yeah, absolutely.
How does that affect how you serve your patients today? Or, you know, the population that you serve, I should say.
Yeah, well, it teaches me that, you know, not only do I belong, but I have a role with them, but more importantly, they belong. And, yep. You know, everybody is really treated fairly. And we really help them live their best life.
That's really important to you, isn't it?
It is. It really
why?
Is.
Why is that? Where's that coming from?
You know, I fortunately, I never had anybody in my family with a disability. So I didn't even know there were people out there that were living with such challenges, true challenges. And as I became more and more involved in that, you want to step in and help any way you can.
What's the best part of your day?
Best part of my day is really when I get to interact with the people we serve. And I get to pretty frequently. They hug you, they are excited to see you, and they remind you every day why you come to work.
I wish the public could see the smile in your face right now. What's the website address for Bancroft?
Bancroft.org.
Let me have that one more time.
bancroft.org.
We've been speaking with Tony Pergolin, who is the president and CEO of Bancroft here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, it's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, don't go away. We will be back in a moment right after this quick break. We've got some great guests coming up for you shortly.
You now can recognize your deserving business advisors on our nation's leading Business with Heart radio show, executiveleadersradio.com. Yes, recognize, you can recognize your deserving business advisors on our nation's leading Business with Heart radio show, executiveleadersradio.com. Simply visit executiveleadersradio.com, securely enter their info, and we'll reach out to spotlight your deserving business advisors on our nation's leading Business with Heart radio show, executiveleadersradio.com. Don't wait. This radio and online social media and search engine exposure is quite valuable to your advisors. Yes, this radio and online social media exposure is free and quite valuable to your business advisors who deserve to be recognized. Visit executiveleadersradio.com now to nominate your deserving business advisors.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hear that? It's time for Dodge Power Dollars on Dodge Charger and Challenger, where you get $10 off per horsepower. So you can enjoy the sweet sounds of Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack's 485 horsepower and get $4,850 off. Or take it up a notch with Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye 797 horsepower and get $7,970 off. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars and get a great deal. Offer not available on leases. See dealer for details.
It's totally normal to be constipated with belly pain, straining, and bloating again and again.
No way.
Maybe it's occasional constipation.
Maybe it's not.
You could have a chronic condition called irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives to help relieve belly pain and let you have more frequent and complete bowel movements. Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Maybe it's not occasional constipation. Learn more at linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. You may be able to talk to a doctor online. Visit linzess.com, sponsored by Allergan and Ironwood.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, and we'd like to introduce Chris Calori, who is the CEO of Cooper's Ferry Partnership. What is Cooper's Ferry Partnership, Chris?
Cooper's Ferry is a community and economic development nonprofit in Camden serving the residents of Camden.
All righty. And tell me a little bit about where are you from originally?
I grew up in India. That's where I was born.
In India. And how many brothers and sisters, and where are you in the pecking order?
I have one older brother.
One older brother. And how young were you when you came to the United States?
I was 15.
You were 15 when you came to the U.S. And when you came to the U.S., did you come with your family? Did you come alone?
I came with my parents.
Mm-hmm. And where'd you settle?
First in the Bronx, New York, and then Voorhees, New Jersey.
All right, Voorhees, New Jersey. And let's see, 15, so it was probably about 10th grade. So you moved from India and you settled in Voorhees in the 10th grade. Tell me a little bit about that adjustment. Was that easy? Was it difficult? Give me some details about that.
Yeah, culturally, it was obviously a huge departure from what I was used to. And that goes with the environment as well. So it was a challenge to say the least, but what it gave me is intestinal fortitude, I guess, because when you're thrown in the water and you're forced to swim, you got to learn how to swim. That's what I felt like.
Ethan?
Chris, what was it like as a 15-year-old just arriving here in the States, making friends?
It was difficult at first, but I will tell you, the openness in the school that I was at really helped me acclimate much faster than I thought. But where it really gave me the chance to understand the cultural nuances of the United States was working at Wawa making hoagies.
You shared with us earlier something about like your how it like helped you like build a spine, your spine and your fortitude. What was that about?
I think when you come to a country at age 15, you have missed the opportunity to be part of a younger group of people who've grown up together. And I think what that forces you to do is to adapt. Adaption, when you have to adapt to a new environment, to a new culture, what it gives you is strength and it's spinal strength, frankly, that carried me all the way through my career.
Chris, I just want to go back to India. What would your friends in India tell us about you?
They will say I was fun to hang out with and I was always up to mischief.
Mm-hmm. And what did you think of the United States as a 10 or 12-year-old? Like, what did you know about the United States and what was your thoughts?
My knowledge about the United States came from State Department magazines called the Span magazine. But I think while it was very good, I actually think it was much more limiting when I actually arrived at JFK Airport on a summer day in August of 1985. It really gave me the ability to understand what this country is about from an opportunity
standpoint. Bailey?
What outside influences did you have? You mentioned something about Wawa. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Wawa is where I really learned what it means to have an outward-facing position when you're trying to serve customers, when you're looking for feedback, and when you're really trying to understand why customer service and constituency matters in everything you do.
What's it have to do with this Cooper's Ferry partnership thing?
Yeah, Cooper's Ferry is about serving the residents of Camden. Ultimately, it is about making sure what we do matches their interests, not what you think is right, what they expect of you.
And so the customer service, yep. Shannon?
Chris, going back to India, where do you see your India roots show up today?
It shows up in my constant paranoia of failure, and I'll tell you why. Because when you come to a country with $2,000 in your pocket and no way to go back home, what it forces you to do is understand what actually is foundational, which is the value system I grew up with. It also makes sure that you're driven as an individual. And that's mm-hmm. where it shows up, I think, every single day.
Michael?
Yeah, to piggyback off of fear of failure, Chris, we talked about kind of how you navigated this through building on your competencies. Can you articulate that again?
Yeah, I think competency is the ultimate insurance policy against paranoia failure. It isn't anything other than that. And I think if you've been given the right opportunity, and I've been given every opportunity to succeed for education and for a career, and if you have the right competencies, I think that's what gives you the ultimate assurance that the paranoia failure is just that. But if you don't have paranoia failure, I think your core competencies are not as sharp as they should be. Mm-hmm.
John?
Chris, I know you're with a smaller business today, but in the green room, you had mentioned in the past you've worked for larger companies. So why the transition from large to small? Because I would think there'd be more paranoia in a small business than a large business.
I actually think the size of the company is less relevant, but the importance of mission is what drives me. The reason I'm in Camden is because this is very much part of my DNA. This is where I went to college. This is where I got my first job. I think that's why I'm back. So for me, the focus on what we're actually trying to do, which is help the residents, is more important. That's why I'm glad I'm here.
Who's got the next question?
I'm just curious, Chris, what your advice would be to a kid that's maybe changing schools or coming from one country to another, what your advice would be to kind of fit in and meet people.
I think change is understandably what people are afraid of. But I think if you channel change and adapt to change, changing environments, it is the greatest asset that anybody can have. So I actually was so glad to have been challenged when I came here and challenged with not just a different environment, but ever evolving change, because I think that is the ultimate constant in success.
I understand that you set a record where you were governor of New Jersey for one day, and there was some other stuff you did around that. Why don't you tell us that story?
Well, in under the New Jersey Constitution, when I was Secretary of Transportation, when the governor and the attorney general and the speaker of the House were out of town, the commissioner of transportation becomes the governor. And I was the last guy in line. So sometimes it's not just about hard work. It's about time and space matters as well. And I'm glad I was there at the right time in the right space.
Uh-huh. So you were there. What was your prior role?
I was Secretary of Transportation in New Jersey.
Uh-huh. And you were a kid that came with $2,000 to America. Is that right?
That is correct.
Uh-huh. So you ended up being the Secretary of Transportation. How did you get from an immigrant kid with $2,000 to being the Secretary of Transportation of New Jersey?
Look, I will tell you, I've had the privilege of having many people who have helped me along my career. I went from Camden to working on the Capitol Hill for a decade. And after that, I came back to New Jersey, and I eventually interviewed to become Secretary of Transportation. It isn't always about what education you have. It matters what kind of network you have and your capacity to adapt. And I know I've said that many times, but I think ultimately that is how you move up the career ladder, is to constantly adapt, constantly hone your skills, and constantly develop your network.
Hmm. Well, you certainly know. I mean, this is good advice because you've proof of it, you know? Who's got the next question for Chris?
I was going to say, Chris, what makes you most proud today, Chris?
What makes me most proud is seeing my kids, who are a lot more tolerant than I am, a lot more capable than I am. They are privileged, yet they have not forgotten their humanity. And I think that's what I think I'm the most proud of.
They're privileged, but they haven't forgotten their humanity. What are you talking about?
Look, they have not experienced what I experienced when I grew up in India and certainly came here. There isn't a thing that they need today that they can't get. But what we have tried to give them is a value system that is based on who I was when I grew up in India. I'll say this, the greatest inheritance is not money. It is a value system that you pass on to your kids.
Give me that again.
Greatest inheritance is not money, but it's the value system that you pass on to your kids.
Well, what's the website address for this Cooper's Ferry partnership?
It's coopersferry.com.
Let me have that one more time, please.
Coopersferry.com.
We've been speaking with Chris Corey, who's the CEO of Cooper's Ferry Partnership here on Executive Leaders Radio. Please don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, it's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, stick around. We will be back in a moment right after this quick break.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the spaced repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com, B-A-B-B-E-L.com.
I'm Andy Solomon. Innovation and creativity collide as PlayStation reveals new details about its latest video game system, PlayStation 5. PlayStation's Sid Schumann has more.
PlayStation 5 is bringing rich and diverse gaming experiences for fans to look forward to this holiday. We announced more than 24 new PlayStation 5 games, including PlayStation exclusives like Marvel's Spider-Man, Miles Morales, where players can experience the rise of this important character. And one of the best-selling games of all time, Grand Theft Auto 5, is coming to PlayStation 5 with new enhancements.
Tell us about the PlayStation 5 hardware.
PlayStation 5 will come in a beautiful, stunning design with a bold look that's truly eye-catching. It will load games incredibly fast, and combined with advanced 3D audio and the new DualSense wireless controller that provides haptic feedback, PlayStation 5 will captivate your senses and bring you even deeper into these extraordinary game worlds than ever before.
For more information, visit PlayStation.com.
We're here to tell you about Boost Mobile's new upgraded network.
That's right. Stronger signal, faster speeds, and more coverage.
So now you can get everything you want faster, like Pipple's music.
No, the new upgraded network means you can download music faster than ever before. It doesn't mean that it will make Pitbull songs faster.
Oh, so this isn't the song.
No, this is the song.
Well, this is embarrassing.
Step up with Boost Mobile's new upgraded network. Stronger signal, faster speeds, more coverage than before. Switch and get 4 unlimited lines for $25 per line per month and 4 free LG K51 phones. Access to upgraded network requires compatible device. New customers only. 4 line offer requires at least one port and activation from eligible carrier. Free phone limited to 1 per line while supplies last. Customers using more than 35 gigabytes of data during billing cycle may be deprioritized during times of congestion. Offers and coverage not available everywhere. Additional terms and restrictions apply. See BoostMobile.com or retailer for full details.
Back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce David Fox, founder of Combat Ready. David, what is Combat Ready? What are you guys doing?
Yeah, so we make products for the U.S. military. Specifically, we help keep soldiers in the fight. That's to prevent blisters from their combat boots, from their equipment rubbing. We solved that for them.
Mm-hmm. Where are you from originally?
Born in Philadelphia, grew up in Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. How many brothers and sisters, and where are you in the pecking order?
So I am 6 out of 7.
All righty. Ethan, give me a hand, please.
What was that like, being one of 7 kids, 6 out of 7?
Yeah, so if you want some attention from the parents, you've got to speak up. You got to get your time. You can't be a wallflower. Otherwise, your brothers and sisters will just trample you.
So that really made you an independent kid?
Yeah, because, well, first you needed to, again, not be a wallflower. You needed to just grab the attention for wherever you were. Otherwise, people would ignore you. But in addition, you know, I just found my space within the household. I found my quiet space that I could go do my thing while my brothers and sisters were all getting in trouble. And so that's kind of, I think, enabled me to just do some of the independent things I do today.
Yeah, how does that show up for you today?
Yeah, so I'm an entrepreneur. I've started a number of different companies, and a lot of that, when you first start that business, you're all by yourself. You're just sitting there by yourself trying to make it happen. And so you have to be comfortable in that seat, having no one else around you and just figuring it out as you go. So yeah, I think way back then, being 6 out of 7 has groomed me to be able to do what I do today.
Billy?
So you say you're an entrepreneur. When did you first start making money? How young were you when you first got a job or started making money?
Oh gosh. So, like 12, 13 years old, paper route.
And how did that go? I mean, you just get a paper route in the neighborhood and go, or did you expand on it?
Yeah. So started small, had a pretty small territory, but then kept growing it and growing it, became actually pretty significant, got so large that I almost couldn't ride it at the end. I had to start jumping in a car and leaning out the window to throw the papers, cause it just got to be such a big territory.
But what made you different? Why'd you get so much? What was the difference?
Oh, so frankly, just worked harder, rode faster. We just did it faster.
I
got more and more territory.
Yeah, what's the similarity between your growing that paper route and what you're doing nowadays?
So you have to have a sense of urgency. You got to, in many of the situations we're in, we don't have the most resources. We don't have the most staff. So we have to outwork and out-hustle our competitors. And so that's really a foundation to success. It's not everything, but it's a big part of being able to be successful in a small business or as an entrepreneur.
Drew?
David, you mentioned in the green room you played soccer. What was your role on the team?
Oh, I was a defender, a very unglorious position, a defender.
And what does that tell us about you?
So, you know, you just, in that position, in that role, it's not about you, it's about the team. If I wanted it to be about me, I'd go be a striker or something like that and score the goals. But in that position, it's about, I'm doing my part so that we can all win. In fact, if it becomes about me, then I'm probably doing something wrong. And so that's the same way that I run the businesses that I do. If it's about me, then we're not going to be successful. It's about either the person that we're serving, our customers, or about our staff.
Shannon?
David, in the green room, you mentioned you have a son and a daughter. What have you learned from them that affects the way you build your team today?
Oh, gosh. So kids, they're humble. They'll humble you in a minute, right? So one of the things that I learned over time was that they're not going to learn a new skill, pick up an instrument, try a sport until they're ready. As much as we might want them to do it at a certain age, they're not going to do it till they're ready. And there's that saying, right, that when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And so we kind of gained that knowledge. I wish I had it sooner. But we try and use that in any of all of our interactions with our staff and our companies, which is we give them the opportunity to grow, but we recognize that when they're ready, they'll grab the bull by the horns, and then we'll support them.
David, you and your son have a hobby in common. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so about maybe 2 years ago, we started rock climbing together. And it's scary. It's awesome. And kind of one of the things that's really wild about it when you think about it is that when you're belaying the person, when you have the rope in your hands and they're climbing the wall, you literally have their life in your hands. And so it's humbling.
And it sounds like trust is important. What does trust have to do with being the founder of Combat Ready?
So there's the trust in your own skills, right? So while you have, I just mentioned in belaying somebody, having their hands, their life in your hands, you have to trust in yourself that you won't let them down. Will you trust yourself in your own business as you go forward? Trust in your own skills, trust in your own abilities. And I also have to ask for trust from my staff, even though I might not have always earned it yet. If they're a new employee, I need them to trust in what my decisions are or the role that we might have for them and trust that they can find success in it. And so sometimes you have to ask for trust before you've earned it.
Mr. Wiley.
Dave, many entrepreneurs are kind of wired to see the world in ways of how they can fix it or improve it. Going back to your childhood, was there something that kind of bubbled up at some point or another where you kind of looked at the world and tried to improve something?
Oh, wow. So I guess maybe one of the first things I ever invented or tried to create when I saw a problem was, so I'm one of seven plus two parents. It's nine people at the dinner table. It's a long dinner table. And so people would always ask, hey, you know, pass the salt, pass this, pass whatever. And over the raw, you know, it's a crazy dinner table conversation. You wouldn't even get heard. So I created something where you could just pull the salt and pepper shakers down the table with this little thing I created with wood and wheels and string. And so you didn't have to ask anyone to pass the salt and pepper. You could just do it yourself.
Mm-hmm. What's that have to do with what you're doing nowadays?
So same thing, right? You recognize a problem. You see that there's a void or an opportunity or there's a pain point for someone and you just figure out a way to solve it. That's what we do for the military. That's what we do for hikers and ultra runners and people who use our products all over.
Actually, earlier you mentioned to us that you came up with some inventions for the military, but you also mentioned you brought some of that stuff on the QBC. What's the connection there?
Yeah, so the product that we created for soldiers specifically, which was to prevent blisters from their combat boots, it happens to be an incredible product for anyone. If you hike, if you run, for women in those torture chamber shoes that they wear that are the heels and all those things, it's an incredible product for that. So QVC recognized it and said, we have to bring it to our customer base. So it's really wild that we started for something that was created for special forces soldiers, most elite people in the world, and you could buy it on QVC to prevent blisters from your heels.
John?
David, in the green room, you mentioned that you ran track. I'm just curious, which event?
So started as a sprinter, and then everyone kept getting faster than me, so I ended up all the way into the 800-meter relay.
Well, that's a tough race, so tell me, training for that, running that race, what does that have to do with what you're doing today?
Yeah, so I didn't love track. I ran track to stay in shape for soccer, but I was part of a relay team, and so we took that seriously. I took my role seriously, which was – hey, I'm one of four. I got to work my butt off so they can all be successful. Even if I'm not necessarily passionate about it, I still had to put the work in. And so I would say that, look, when you have your own business, there's going to be lots of times when it's not fun and you're just going to have to put the work in so that we can all be successful. So it's, you know, again, it's not about me. It's about the team. And there are going to be a lot of hard times that you just got to put, you know, just put your nose to the grindstone and go.
Drew, what are you thinking?
I'm just, you know, curious about what advice that you'd give kind of a quiet kid that maybe had some inventions in mind, what your advice would be.
Yeah, so, and forgive me for always having sayings, but we work a lot with the military. They have lots of mantras, lots of ways of doing things. So I would say that one of the ones that we always try and emulate is that there's no shame in falling down, only in the failure not to get back up. So, right, you're not going to be successful. There's going to be times when you're going to have failure. That's okay. It's no big deal. Just brush yourself off, get up and go again, either in the same direction or in a different direction. Doesn't matter. Just get yourself back up and go again.
David, you mentioned earlier that you're doing some give back in the community. What is that and why?
Yeah, so we work with a lot with search and rescue, pararescue men with the military. And that's just kind of rubbed off on me, what they do. Those men and women do incredible work of giving of themselves. They put their lives on the line for others. So I've taken it upon myself to learn how to be a search and rescue technician as a volunteer for my local community here. I have the ability to do so. So I'm going to go ahead and do that.
Search and rescue. So you're going to be training for this and spending your time. Why are you doing that? Why?
Again, I have the ability to do it, so I should. I mean, if when someone gets lost, just like how when we were rock climbing, you have someone's life in your hands on that rope. It's humbling, and you also feel an awesome sense of responsibility. Same thing when being a search and rescue technician.
Boy, you talk about wanting to be trusted. Boy, that's deep in your soul. What's the website address for this organization, Combat Ready?
So combatreadytape.com.
We've been speaking with David Fox, founder of Combat Ready, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this break.
Recognize your deserving business advisors on our nation's leading Business with Heart radio show, Executive Leaders Radio. Yes, recognize, you can recognize your deserving business advisors on our nation's leading Business with Heart radio show, executiveleadersradio.com. Simply visit executiveleadersradio.com, securely enter their info, and we'll reach out to spotlight your deserving business advisors on our nation's leading Business with Heart radio show, executiveleadersradio.com. Don't wait. This radio and online social media and search engine exposure is quite valuable. Yes, this radio and online social media and search engine exposure is quite valuable to your business advisors who deserve to be recognized. Visit executiveleadersradio.com now to nominate your deserving business advisors for free exposure.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Hey guys, it's Mock and Daisy from the Chicks on the Right. We want to tell you about our new podcast, the Mock and Daisy Common Sense Cast.
Every week, we talk about the issues that matter to us most.
We talk about everything from parenting and our families to the Me Too movement and what women really want in men.
And if you're just plain tired of people trying to tell you what to do and how to live your life, we tackle that too.
Find out more by going to our website, chicksontheright.com, or start listening on the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app.
Don't forget to leave us a comment or review and subscribe.
Mom, delivery!
You've been loading up on things from Walmart.
Yeah, I used my Capital One Walmart Rewards card. I earned 5% cash back on everything I buy at Walmart.com.
Say what?
5% back.
Say what?
5% back.
Say what now?
5% back!
With what?
The Capital One Walmart Rewards card. I earn unlimited rewards, including 5% cash back at Walmart.com. What's in your wallet?
Terms and exclusions apply. Capital One N.A.
Land ho!
Hey, hey, seriously, land ho, guys. Guys, land ho! Land ho! Right there!
The tides can turn quick on the water. Progressive's boat insurance has you covered with Sign and Glide on-water towing. Get a quote today in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com.
I gotta say, this land ho thing, not very effective.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Sign and Glide coverage is subject to policy terms.
This is a national healthcare alert from the 24/7 Diabetic Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one has diabetes, listen closely. Now, regardless of your age, if you have insurance, you may qualify to receive diabetic testing supplies with little to no out-of-pocket cost. Get free delivery, free information, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers for free. Call the 24/7 Diabetic Health Hotline now for details. Toll free at this number. But wait, there's more. If you call right now, you could get a meter upgrade. In addition, we'll give you a free pair of diabetic socks as our special gift to you. Regardless of your age, if you suffer with diabetes and have insurance, you may qualify to get free delivery of your supplies.
800-443-4996. 800-443-4996. 800-443-4996. That's 800-443-4996.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Orna Kempler-Azoulay, President and CEO of Remote Speech. Orna, what is remote speech? What are you guys doing?
Remote Speech is an online live teletherapy platform and service provider providing speech OTPT to clients all over the United States and the world. It's a product of our other company, Abington Speech, with over 150 therapists of different disciplines.
And where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Israel.
And how many brothers and sisters, and where are you in the pecking order?
I'm the youngest. I'm the only girl. I have two older brothers.
And how young were you when you came to the United States?
I was 9 years old.
Uh-huh. And tell me, what was it like coming to the United States 9 years old? Was that easy? Was it difficult? And what did it do to you?
I remember it being slightly difficult for me because I didn't speak a word of English. I also felt that I was different. We lived in Los Angeles. They sent me to a private school in Beverly Hills. Everyone was really fancy. And I was a little bit of a tomboy. And definitely was a difficult time for me to get adjusted into that pecking order in school.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I understand. Well, Ethan, why don't you take it from here?
Well, Orna, I have to ask, if you came here, only spoke Hebrew, most likely, very little English, would that have anything to do with what you're doing today?
I never thought about that until recently, but yes, I feel that being a speech-language pathologist definitely helps bring the voice to a lot of patients who don't have a voice, either due to a stroke or a speech impediment, and definitely, it gives a lot of joy to bring that voice back, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Drew?
Well, you mentioned being in the choir and enjoying singing. What did you enjoy about singing?
Yeah, so at a very young age, I found my place in the choir and schools. It gave me an awesome friend group, and it evolved into being in the a cappellas later in high school and performing all over, and we won competitions. I loved being on stage. I love having my own identity because I was the youngest in the house always.
Why did
I was a little bit overshadowed.
Why did you love singing? Like, what did you like most about stepping on the stage in front of an audience?
I love the feel of the audience enjoying what we were producing. And I loved the fact that all of our voices meshed together and gave people pleasure by listening to the music.
And what did you get out of singing that you bring with you to work every day?
I feel that I am comfortable by holding the stage. I'm comfortable leading. I have, a lot of people looking up to me, a lot of families that are dependent on their income from what we can provide them. And it just makes me more comfortable to lead.
Boy, oh boy, it really is pretty profound. Shannon?
Orna, in the green room, you mentioned that your mom passed away when you were 11. I can't imagine how difficult that must have been. What impact did that have on your family?
Well, my two older brothers then returned back to Israel to the military. It's mandatory service in Israel, so they needed to go back. I stayed with my dad. It was definitely a hard adjustment. We moved again, so it was definitely difficult, but I felt a lot of support from an outside family, like my aunt and my uncle in Israel and my aunt in Texas, and my mom's friends stepped up. I always felt I had so much support, and it gave me that strength to kind of continue and not go into a wrong path.
Orna, support really sounds like it's something that's of importance to you. Tell us more about that and why.
I think that because of the support I received, and I was able to endure the hardship and actually come out of it on the other side very positively, I then feel that today I help and support by the business that I've created, businesses that I created, so many people and so many families that really need the support and don't know where to get it from.
Daily?
You talked earlier a little bit about your brothers. Tell us about your brothers.
So my brothers are 8 and 7 years older than me. They're very close in age themselves. So they were always like the duo, and I was a little bit behind and the only girl. Everyone in my family is an entrepreneur. We all own our own businesses, including dating back to my grandparents, my dad and my brothers and I. And I think that they, as soon as I graduated from graduate school, they pushed me. They said, you need to open your own business and just do it. Take the leap. Be brave.
What's the main thing you learned from them?
To just live life. I think it's more that we all learned this together by losing our mom so young. She was only 40. We live life today. We don't wait. I think that's also a motto on a lot of Israelis, because you never know, your future is so uncertain in Israel. So we live today, and we really tackle what we need to tackle. And
John?
Do what we need to do.
So Orna, you were talking about singing early on. How has that foundation and that background in the arts brought you to where you are today?
I think this, I learned the sense of community, because as singers, we were, you know, part of a choir, part of the a cappella group. You kind of learn to be a team player. That's one. Two, you find your voice, and you find your voice each, like, so I was either an alto, and then you find there's a soprano. We each had our own designation kind of to take place in the choir, and it just found, I found my voice through that. Definitely.
Michael?
Orna, your story's fascinating, and you clearly have some serious inner strength, but going back to your voice statement, this is a theme that's kind of followed you since you came to the United States, and you summed it up with everyone has a voice. Why?
Because patients and clients that have speech impediments or lose their way to communicate due to different disabilities or problems or medical conditions are often disregarded, and they lose their voice. And you have to, I love the fact that we can train and help and provide that source of information to the families and the patients to be able to gain their communication back. So I think that finding my voice in turn led me to the path to helping others find their own voice.
Orna, tell us how you feel when you see somebody improving as you've worked with them and they come back and thank you for everything that you've done for them.
Oh, it's amazing. I keep in touch with a lot of those patients and kids that I used to see that they were 3, now are 24. And to be such a big part in their life and in the way that they define themselves later, and also the support we provide the caregivers is definitely so rewarding. It just makes it all worthwhile for sure.
Mm. You moved around a lot as a kid. I'm wondering, what was the effect? What's the upside of that downside of moving around a lot?
The upside is that I could be thrown in any place, anytime, anywhere, and I'm fine with it. And that makes me also an awesome traveler. We travel a lot. We're not afraid. We just land. We don't know where we're going, and we just go. And we like feel that sense of security that whatever happens, we'll figure it out. And I think that helps me also with the business for sure, because I can just go with the punches, roll with the punches.
Wait. So as opposed to coming up with a specific plan when you're traveling, you sort of like go with a rough idea. When it comes to the business, you're telling me that your ability to roll with the punches has helped you build the business?
Yeah, I feel that, you know, when we started Abington Speech in 1999, I thought that it would be a certain plan. It took us many different winding roads. And about 5 years ago, pre-COVID, pre-everyone going online and joining Zoom, we realized that the world is missing this piece. Like, we were getting calls from rural areas, inner city schools, international clients that didn't have access to therapy. So we figured it out. We said we have to get this to them. We worked and found a really good way to provide online live therapy no matter where you are. You go with the flow and you tackle this problem that just came out of nowhere and you just solve it. You make it happen.
Well, sometimes in business, you hear the market's the master, and I hear that you're calling it go with the flow. It sounds like it's the same thing. And who's going to argue with you? You're running a staff of 150 people. You must know what you're doing. Well, what's the website address of this organization known as Remote Speech?
It's very simple, remotespeech.com.
Mm-hmm. And what's the website address of the original business?
AbingtonSpeech.com, AbingtonSpeech.com.
All right, just wanted to make sure I got that. And we've been speaking with Orna Kempler-Azoulay, President and CEO of Abington Speech, as well as Remote Speech. Ethan, can you give us a rundown on who we've had the opportunity to hang out with today?
Sure, Herb. We've had a great show today, including Tony Pergolin, President and CEO of Bancroft, Chris Colori, CEO of Cooper's Ferry Partnership, David Fox, founder of Combat Ready, and Orna Kempler-Azoulay, President and CEO, Remote Speech.
Excellent. I'd like to thank my co-hosts, including Shannon Lane, Newmark Knight Frank, Drew Hanlon, Ethan Milrod, GoTo, Daily Tipton, Evolution Energy Partners, Mike Wiley, Chain Solutions, and John Fidler, Vidotto Partners, for giving me hand structure and the questions, hopefully providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. That's executiveleadersradio.com. Thank you for joining us today. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Our veterans risked it all to protect our freedom. One of the best ways to say thank you is to volunteer to support them. At a time in history where kindness is a virtue, volunteering means a lot. For over 47 years, Help Heal Veterans, a not-for-profit organization, with the support of citizens like you, have delivered therapy kits to veterans who need them. To volunteer or learn more, visit HealVets.org. That's HealVets.org.
Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.